Yes.
Yes.
Everyone's here. Yes.
Everyone.
Everyone's relatively fine, all things considered, actually.
Yeah. It could be so much worse.
That's true.
Just like personally. I could have been lost at sea.
You're back. You made it. You made it from the Trecruz.
The Trecruz. I did. A cruise ship really makes you think, like, if I jumped over the side, would someone notice? Just like as an experiment of, like, there's so many people on this boat. Everyone's looking out a window at some point.
Oh.
Would someone see me?
Isn't the answer no? I feel like this might be from TV shows, but I feel like a lot of people are like, the best way to murder someone is just toss them off the edge of a cruise ship.
I don't know. There's like cameras that I noticed. Probably nowadays.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I don't know. I wasn't trying to push anybody off. I wasn't trying to jump off, but it does make you think.
But you didn't have to sleuth out a mystery.
No,
is what you're saying.
The one thing the Star Trek cruise is missing is like a murder to solve, like a murder mystery.
That would be a fun aspect.
Yeah, I don't want to throw out programming pitches for next year's Star Trek cruise, but in a, once again, Andrew realizing, seeing fully in his memory that he's watched more Star Trek than he thinks he has.
Uh-huh.
I think a fun night would just be like a holodeck Sherlock Holmes mystery for the whole boat.
They did Mutiny on the holodeck, and I did not attend that because I think I was exhausted. So maybe that was something similar, but everyone was dressed as a pirate. So what I'm saying is they didn't do it this year, but I would not be surprised if, like, cruise year 3 or 4 or something, they did it.
Yeah. I think my pitch is just, like, everyone is in cosplay. I also...
Done.
This is, have we talked about this? Well, no, everyone is in cosplay as Sherlock Holmes or some Victorian person as opposed to... But not that. What I love... I think we... I don't know if we ever talked about this, but... I never actually, like, when I was in my, like, 20s, my friend had this band that, it was like a rockabilly band, but their whole bit was they dressed up as sort of like the Universal Monsters, but basically all undead people. But it was like a Frankenstein and a Dracula and a mummy.
Monster Mash, if you will.
Yeah, it was literally like a Monster Mash rockabilly band. And they were trying to make a music video, and I pitched and, like, started storyboarding, but I think I was in my 20s and I just gave up on this idea for a music video for them, which is that if you take the conceit that those are not costumes, but they are actually like a Dracula, Frankenstein, etc., then their favorite day is Halloween. The music video starts on Halloween morning. They're so excited. It's like their Christmas. And it's them in monster costume putting on other costumes.
Right.
I love a double costume.
Yeah. You have pitched to me before the idea that a Dracula's favorite day is Halloween, and what if they use that day to dress up as, Barbie or something?
Yeah.
You have pitched the costume on costume.
That is my favorite, that's one of my favorite things about, like, the Star Trek, like, those weird holodeck episodes, is, like, having, like, Geordi glasses, but also, like, you know, wearing, like, a Sherlock Holmes hat. And I'm like, that's so funny to me.
Yeah.
Or like, you're like Data, but you're also a Genghis Khan or whatever.
Yep. There was a lot of that on the cruise. There's a lot of costume on costume. Some of my favorite, by the way, this is the show, Yo, Is This Racist? Where we eventually listen to your voicemails about racism, but we're also going to read some texts and answer some general advice stuff because we're soft rebranding the show. I'm Tony Newsom. That's Andrew T.
We got our producer,
Kevin Bartelt. My favorite cosplay event, and I do call it an event because there were like 7 or 8 of them in a group, were all of these Mark Twains from from our episode in season 4 of Lower Decks, where Boimler and Rutherford are roommates and they can't solve a dispute about a bonsai tree unless they are on the holodeck pretending to both be Mark Twain. And then when they both do the Mark Twain voice, then suddenly all of their problems go away. So they use it as a conflict resolution measure. And everyone, and then we did it a couple more times throughout the season. My favorite Captain Freeman line is her just being like, why does this work? So there were like 9 twains, all just like, we call it twin twains. They were just twin twaining all over the boat. It was so funny.
I was going to say Mark's twain, more like Mark's together.
Ah, there you go.
I don't know.
Oh, Kevin just leaned out of frame.
Mark's twixt? It's in
Holder.
There.
Yeah. <It's> a- you got further okay. away.
I'll find it. I'll keep looking. I am wearing a Star Wars shirt by accident today.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't cool.
It's pretty cool. There were a lot of stormtroopers on the boat. There's a general sci-fi night. There were like 15 Doctor Who's. There was an Ultraman. It was a lot of shit. It's all inclusive, the Star Trek.
To getting thrown or fallen off a yacht or cruise, I think I would like the role of like jet ski patrol, and I just like do laps around the boat the entire ride just to like make sure everything's good. I think that'd be a fun job.
You want to be like the high seas version of a motorcycle cop.
Mm-hmm. Like security. Yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever ridden on a jet ski? I'm going to guess. Yeah. Okay, wait. Before. Oh,
sorry.
I was going to guess Tawny is more
I jet actually ski have than. Not.
Really?
Yeah, I think it always just doesn't ever interest me. It's like the same way I feel about snorkeling. It's like I want to swim in the open ocean. I want to be on a boat and I want to stop that boat in the middle of the ocean. I want to get off it and I want to swim. I don't care. I don't need to be on a faster little thing and I don't really care what's down there.
Right.
It's not really my business.
The your zone of interest for the ocean is the first 10 feet.
Yeah, like where my body is with my little head poking out above water and I just want to swim around in the open ocean like I'm a mermaid.
Like about a swimming pool's worth of ocean.
Yeah. If I start thinking about too much of what's down there, I'm going to get freaked out and I'm not going to want to go in there anymore.
I do have a memory of the first time I rode a jet ski. My dad's friend was like, you hop on the front and we'll go. And I was like in first grade and I just got like bombarded with water to the face to the point where I remember crying and going, I can't breathe.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that seems rough.
Do they have propellers? Okay, I'll get off jet skis.
Yeah, I think there's like a little motor situation on the back.
They're like a lawnmower, but for water, right?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
They're sucking up the water and shooting it back out behind them. That's their power.
Oh. I love it.
I guess the grass doesn't power the lawnmower.
It could. In the Flintstones, it does.
In the Flintstones, is a lawnmower still powered by feet?
I think in the Flintstones, a lawnmower is just like a dinosaur that eats the grass.
Great, great point. If you are tuning into the show for the first time, or you're not a regular listener and you can't figure out why we're talking about cruise ships and stuff, I was just on the Star Trek cruise last week as an employee.
I will say this. It feels like, by and large, if people are joining the show now, those are people that know you were on the Star Trek cruise.
Who knows, man?
I guess that's true.
It's a free show. Anyone can listen to it.
That's true. That's true. If you want a not free show, you can go to suboptimalpods.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it's inexpensive still, but that's our premium show, which is more like this. I'll be honest, I think we're making a little bit of an effort to merge the two shows creatively, but
a little bit. But what you will get over there is you're going to get Excellencies, where we celebrate shit done by people of color. You're going to get more mm-hmm. Trek talk. I'm going to give you mm-hmm. all the full Star Trek cruise download over there. Mm-hmm. That's on our show, Yo Can We Live? It comes out every Friday. Subscribe, please.
I think, we're going to do another anime watch along. Gun to my head. I still hate anime, but there was an anime suggestion that I haven't watched it yet.
Lots of great programming over there. speaking of great programming, this text message.
Yes.
This text message.
So that's the other thing. So we're opening up the phone lines. Our number is 323-389-7223. You can call in with your questions, but you can also call with questions about, you know, whether something is racist. We'll get to that shit eventually. But I also discovered recently that just straight up you can text Not only can you straight up text, but people had been straight up texting that number. Mm. And they go through. They're just in the place on the phone software that I don't click. So we had some texts, but also we're open to just like fucking, let's just see how this goes.
Yeah.
Just general advice. So we had a general advice question. Well, we had a specific a comment and then a question. So number one comment, Tawny, I'm guessing because of your travel schedule, I'm not sure if you got a chance to listen to last week's episode with special guest Jessica Gao, but we ill-advisedly had two Asian people hash out the oxtail discussion.
I listened for a bit and then I had to stop listening because I was doing something, but I was like riveted. I was riveted by the whole thing. I also love how you fully kidnapped Jessica into doing this show when she thought she was doing Yo, Can We Live? That was a real highlight.
Well, you know, sometimes deception is the only way a producer could get things done. We can all agree about that. Uh-huh. Yeah. So I think we fair-mindedly worked out that oxtail is, you know, I don't think we said it specifically this way last week, but ultimately what we really determined is oxtail is not white. And what we're annoyed at is the gentrification of oxtail from all cultures. Sure. So the tiny comment from our texter was, in my Mexican family, we ate oxtail on Sundays as a treat. So chalk it up. Just add a one. Everyone loves oxtail. Oxtail's mm-hmm. the best.
Oh, I love it.
And then the actual advice question is, here we go. Advice request. They very nicely say, can you guys, but this is, I'm just going to say this, more of a Tawny question than an Andrew question. Can you guys give a primer on how to not be a weirdo when meeting famous people? The do's and don'ts. Addendum, does the advice change in conventions versus meeting people in the wild?
Oh, so this is a Trek person. Or maybe they go to those first responder cons, who knows? Those are real. Like Grey's Anatomy people, they go to their conventions that are all, just what? Like we have sci-fi conventions. There's conventions for everything now. My friend who's on Yellowstone, they go to like cowboy conventions where you meet like actors who are on cowboy shows. The first responder cons are like you meet people that are on like Grey's Anatomy and Chicago Med.
Oh, it's that's wild. True. I did remember hearing about the phenomenon of just like YouTuber conventions or influencer conventions. Yeah. Which, the thing that was so weird to me about that, which I guess is the reason I'm an old man that I will never understand this, but I was like, it's so weird that, like, I guess the kids today, to me, are, like, devoted to a medium and not, like, I'm like, I like people on YouTube, but I also dislike lots of people on YouTube. And, like, I would find it hard to imagine just liking generally the concept of YouTube.
I think that's where the promoters then, it's their job to figure out, okay, who in the YouTube medium will people come out to see? So it's almost like they're creating the false, just by nature of like, we need to have a category for this event.
Yeah.
It probably still is people like you who are like, well, I like that guy, and I would go see her.
Right.
So I guess that means I'm going to this YouTube con.
It's just weird to me to call it. And you know what? And I think those people are very devoted to their medium. Like, they call themselves YouTubers or Twitch streamers or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
TikTokers.
Yeah.
I'm a blogger at heart.
Classic blogger. I love questions that are like, so many of our Yo's is Racist questions really boil down to how to be normal, how to not be weirdo. And I like that this person just straight up said it. Like, how do I not be a weirdo?
Yeah.
Man, it is like the second part of the question, like, is it different conventions versus daily life? Like, yes and no. Like, one, yes, because like the people, the talent that are coming to conventions in a way have signed up for this. They're like, I am excited to meet a bunch of people.
Yeah. Or they are directly compensated and that's fine too.
Right. Or a combo of both. I am compensated and it is, you know, it's soul compensating to meet all these lovely people. So hopefully there's a both and. But there also is like a structure to those events so that, you know, you can engage with these people in ways that they have said, this feels good to me. And in ways that the organization has said, this feels good and safe. But the other advice is like, it doesn't really change that just like not, you know, the same basic shit that you do out in the wild, which is like, don't come up to somebody when they're eating. Don't, you know, probably don't bother someone when they're like, you know, if they look like they're in a serious conversation or like, I don't know, if they're like dealing with their kids and there's something going on, I probably wouldn't approach. I don't know. Just if it looks like people are like busy with some other shit, maybe don't approach. I don't know. A lot of people still just want to do the really quick, like, I just have to say, blah, blah, blah. And I guess just, I always ask myself, because I never go up to anybody. I'm always just like, they don't need to hear from me. But I guess just ask yourself, like, am I doing this purely for me or am I doing it for them because I want to, like, tell them their work meant something to me? Maybe use that as, like, a...
I guess that is, like, a thing that can be, like, more specific. Yeah, like I'm trying to think of like any version where, I mean, obviously I haven't been on the receiving end of this, but like I feel like sometimes like I will like, but we're also in a different situation where, because I'm also like, I'm not introducing myself to someone just randomly because I would like to meet them as a peer or coworker one day. Like, so I'm like, I don't know, it's weird to just be like, to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think there are times when specifically, especially when it's like an Asian person, I think there have been times where I'm like, hey, this specific thing was helpful to me in a specific way.
Yeah.
And like, if it feels like that person might like enjoy that, that I think can be good. I was going to go back a little bit and say, as far as the question was like conventions, I guess say and then ask a question to you, Tani, which is like, it feels like the convention thing, as far as like the rules of like, I would almost be like, it's fine to be a quote unquote weirdo as long as it's within the rules of the like posted rules. It just seems like conventions, like, it make it very clear what the rules are for interactions. Yeah. Is that true?
Yes and no. I guess like it also depends a lot on like your handler. Like I have a fantastic handler. Her name is Sean. She is the right amount of like efficient and lovely, but also will like, you know, if there's a line of people and someone's like taking maybe a little too much time to like tell a personal story or something, she'll kind of move it along because I never want to do that because I don't want to feel, you know, I don't want to like, shut someone down when they're trying to share a heartfelt thing. But like, you know, there's, you don't want people standing in line forever and ever. So it's a delicate balance, but
yeah,
I don't know. There is something different of like, these people have paid money to come up and get my stupid signature. Like, yeah, I'm gonna talk to them for a minute. So yeah, you get to be a little weirder because you paid us, which sounds stupid, but it is like,
yeah,
you took the time, you drove here, where we have put ourselves in a willingness to chat with you.
Yeah,
that is very different than like you saw somebody at Mendocino Farms and you wanted to come up and tell them all about your screenplay or whatever.
You know what, that I think maybe is like as if you are a person who is like, you know, in a similar creative field.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and this goes, I guess I see it with writers most at like Q&As and stuff. And it's like, it's so weird because I know that this like whole like hustle, it's not so weird, I guess, but like the whole like hustle culture, it's better to ask questions, it's better to like ask and, you know, beg for forgiveness later type thing, leads to this thing of people thinking every interaction is a job interview or like they're pitching themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that is like both like very off-putting and very like, that is, I mean, I don't want to say it's not going to work because I'm sure there are times when it has worked, but on the balance, the damage it does to your chances of it working outweigh the slim possibility that it might work.
Right.
Like, the higher possibility is someone's like, if they remember your name, it's like, wow, that freak pitched me a screenplay when I was in, like, with my kids in the park.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure, if I remember their name, make sure I never work with them. Because that's like wholly inappropriate.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if anyone's ever, because sometimes people come up and they'll be like, I'm an actor or I'm trying to get into voice acting or I'm a writer. And I don't think I've ever had like an off-putting conversation, but I've never been like, oh, based off that conversation, I need to see what else they have. So it's kind of always just been a neutral. I remember one guy came up and asked me a really specific question in a way that I could tell he had like really thought it out so that it wouldn't take up a lot of time. It would actually give him something to like help him further on his path. Like it was kind of great. He came up and he was like, this was in Chicago, and he was like, I'm an actor in Chicago. I'm trying to get on all, you know, I've been on all the like shows. I've done all my little co-stars on all the shows that shoot here. You know, how do I get bigger like guest star spots? How do I get beyond that? He's like, can you tell me like one thing I can do in my audition to make people remember me? And like the way he structured the question and everything, he told me his whole situation. I was like, oh, that's like great. And I just told him, I was like, yeah, at the end of every one of your auditions, if it's a comedy audition, improvise one line to tag it at the end. Like, don't fuck with the text of the thing, but at the very end, just show them that you can come up with a funny button and people will remember you. And he was like, great, thanks. And he just like dipped out. And I'm like, man, I wonder if that worked for that guy. But it was lovely. I felt helpful. I felt
advice that's quick. Yeah, I think, I mean, look, it's very similar to the voicemail box, which is like, and probably even quicker than the voicemail box, but try to keep it, your question to like 30 seconds, a minute, absolutely tops if it's riveting.
Give us the pertinent info.
And it's quick, be ready. I will also just throw out, just because the conventions thing seems to skew this, I'll just throw out a piece of just, I'm assuming, advice based off of one of our mutual friends, which is sometimes actors, not all actors, are not writers on the shows and or have full knowledge of their character or their character's backstory or the world of the show. Sometimes don't assume actors know every single thing about their character or the show. Because it's, you know, they don't have to. It's genuinely not like their job, I would say. Or parts of it are their job, but
it was very funny on the cruise watching people come up to Eugene Cordero, who does not know very much about Star Trek, but because he is with me all the time on this boat, because I know a lot about Star Trek. That's the other thing, is that people will come up to me and talk just fan to fan, because they'll be like, you mentioned this one thing, and I love that episode too, and blah, blah. And sometimes I'll kind of get into it with people like just talking about the shows that we both love, and it's not like they're coming up to me like, oh, you're a person I watch. It's just like, we're just two people who like a thing. But it was funny watching people come up and do that to both of us and then turn to Eugene and be like, right? Just like in that episode, Fairhaven, right? And he's like, ah, yeah, for sure, yeah, man.
Buddy. Yeah, buddy.
He's like, love that episode. It was great. He did great. There were like, there actually was a couple of really beautiful moments of Filipino fans coming up to him specifically and just being like, you're the first like acknowledged Filipino character in Star Trek, and that's huge for us.
Oh yeah,
it was really beautiful. So, look, it's hard to answer this question because like sometimes doing something very heartfelt and like a long interaction is so lovely.
Yeah.
So I can't say like I would never tell these people that came up to Eugene to express how much that representation meant. I would never tell them to keep it short.
Yeah, I think the problem with questions like this. That the problem with all questions that involve how can I not be a weirdo, it's almost by definition the advice like cannot work with the people who need it the most.
Truly, it's like step one, don't be weird.
Yeah, unfortunately, which is like, I get it. That's like not
helpful.
Yeah,
I think what you're both saying is very true of like step one is like know the context, like if it's at a con or like if the venue is in the correct place, like you probably have a little more flexibility to open up. But if it's like someone walking to their car and about to get in, that's not the time to be like, can I just say in 2004 and then just like really open up. I'm a big fan of just keeping it short and then kind of going off of the energy that you get as well. I never get to say stories like this, so I'm absolutely going to flex that I saw PFT's show last week, and a couple went up to me and were like, Chef Kevin, what's up, man? We're huge fans. So nice to meet you. And that was it. It was just like two sentences, and then they just left.
That's
it.
Great.
And I was like, oh, wow, thank you. That's so nice of you. And they said, oh, we're from Australia. We're here for a few weeks.
Oh, wow.
And then we just had like a nice conversation as we were leaving. But all they did was just open it with like, big fan, nice to meet you. And then just like left
That's
it at
great.
That. And then I was excited. And then we just kept the convo. But they set it up in a way that I could have been like, thanks, guys. And then just like leave. Yeah. So
But yeah, they knew your nickname and everything. That's cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. I felt like $1 million. So I think, just that context of like, if it's out in the wild, maybe lean on the short side and then just kind of see what the reaction is. And then if they're responding like, take care, then just leave it.
I would say
I have done almost not quite the opposite, but like I went to a birthday party where I realized really quickly I knew like almost nobody. Mm-hmm. And someone came up and was like, hey, are you, you know, like I listened to your podcast, da da da. And it was very clear they just wanted to say what's up. And I was like just sitting there and I was like, cool, thanks, da da da, like long beat. And I was like, do you want a drink or something? Like I literally don't know anyone here. And they were like, oh, I'm going to go back to my friends. Like, cool.
Yeah. You're like, you don't want to hang out anymore?
I was just like, I don't know. I'm just standing here. So you're welcome to hang. But
I have definitely trapped some fans for sure. Like they come up with like a niche cut of like a super small detail from Deep Space Nine. And then I'm still talking to them 15 minutes later. And they're like, I kind of have to go.
Gotcha, suckers.
I'm like, no, you engaged.
Yeah.
Now I getcha.
I think it also has something to do with level. Like, I just like, no one ever approaches me. So when they do, I'm like, oh my God, this is fucking amazing.
Yeah. Like, great. Come on up.
Yeah. You thought, okay, this is great. This is great. Running behind, but we're on schedule. We're going to take a break.
Yeah.
And we're going to come back.
And we're back. Oh, I like that. I liked a little Rego advice too. Corner.
Well,
I liked it.
Yeah.
That was great.
Please write in, call in 323-389-7223. Mm-hmm. It is like a nice, we can't really say palate cleanser because we haven't dirtied our palate yet, but
ew. I don't think that's the phrase. No one's palate is dirty.
Well, then why is it cleansed? Why does it need to be cleansed?
Palette
dirtiers.
I really want to see Andrew say that to a waiter. Like, I'm sorry, my palette is filthy. Do you have a cleanser?
Ugh. It's like clean slate. I don't think of the chalkboard as just being covered in filth.
Filthy slate. Ugh. That's where the ideas come from.
Gross. All right, let's listen to a disgusting voicemail to sully our palates.
Thank you.
Hi, Team Yo. So I'm calling about an opportunity for you guys to maybe preempt a bit of racism. Yay, it's election season, which I think means it's only a matter of time before all the well-meaning white liberals emerge from, you know, their sound baths and yoga and ayahuasca streets and shit, and start acting like, you know, the votes of brown and black communities are theirs, and then start shaming them if they don't do what they want. So I was just thinking, do you guys have any thoughts on ways to gently guide these clowns into finding a more productive way to engage and not just be obnoxious assholes? Cool. Thanks.
This is probably going to come out, I think, too late for the LA election, right?
Day after.
Is that correct? Yes, the day after. So primary stuff has gone down. But that's the beauty of living in this time. There's just another fucking election around the corner. And that one's probably more relevant. Yeah, I mean, I think this is like a thing that is perennial, quadrennial.
Right.
Tetralennial? I don't know which of those is correct. But yeah, this shit happens all the time. I think for me, it's because at the heart, the Democratic Party is like kind of like a center right, you know, white person's political party. They're the best of the two options, but they're not necessarily the best for black and brown folks in their policies. They just kind of have this thing of like, y'all got no choice because the other people are much worse. So, yeah, I mean, I guess I personally am super lucky to live, not super lucky, but I'm relatively lucky to live in a state where, listen, the elected officials are not wonderful, but they're better than a lot of places. And also largely my vote doesn't really matter that much. Like the state's going to do the rightest ish possible thing pretty much always ish. So yeah, I'm able to do lots of protest voting.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Cause it's like, I don't know. I don't really see myself voting for Joe Biden, but it also doesn't matter whether I vote for Joe Biden or not.
Yeah, I think for me this year has changed, like, whether or not it's any of my business to try and influence anyone to do anything. And I've felt differently than that in the past, where I felt like, oh, like, we have a platform, you know, we should be whatever, whatever. And this year I'm like, I'm removing that should. I don't think I have the expertise nor responsibility to do that. So yeah, I will be voting and that's it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like, yeah, it's like, it's fucking, I think one thing that has been really interesting is like on the, I guess, left, like the fracturing of between it largely along the lines of like, you know, white Democrats and people of color in general. And I'm like, yeah, this was kind of always the weakness of this coalition. And I know where I stand. And I don't know, plenty of people listening to this, I'm sure, kind of believe differently, but I don't know.
Yeah.
So even beyond this year, there's always this thing of like, well, what are black people going to do? Vote Republican? And like, no, they shouldn't do that. But people of color in general, it's like, I think for what it's worth, and this is, again, at least in California, coming out in the wrong time, which is like, as far as primaries go, like that is, you know, the time you kind of have the ability to at least make some kind of voice heard. And I think that is, to the extent that elections mean anything, the time to do it. So go back in time and vote if you didn't vote in the primaries.
Go back in time. I was also going to say that it does feel like, look, I know we are in a grand and pretty terrifying age of misinformation and disinformation. I don't really know the difference between those two words, but I know that they exist. Andrew, you're possibly smart. Tell us the difference.
I would have guessed intention. I'm not that smart, but...
Oh, sure.
I would say misinformation doesn't have to be a lie.
Right.
Like, misinformation can be a mistake, and disinformation, I would assume, has to be a lie. That's my guess.
Well, this kind of ties into what I was going to say, which is, yes, all of that shit is out there, but it is also the grandest era in the history of Earth for absolutely all information being available to you and all research possibilities being available. So I'm sort of like, if we have the energy to, you know, exhaustively search which phone case is going to keep our phone the driest if we accidentally get stuck in a rainstorm or whatever, you absolutely have it within your power to find the voices that are both well-versed enough in political shit and also are being responsible enough with their information and their source vetting. Like, you can absolutely find the podcast, the writer, the whomever that will help you shape and form your opinions and help you figure out how you should be voting. We are not that, but we all know how to find them.
Yeah. I will say this, as far as, and this is a place where this year probably, but there's always been a weakness in my strategy of simply opposition. Like, I'm almost never voting for someone really, or something. I'm just voting against people. Or ideas or whatever.
I think most people of color are doing that. Anyone in a marginalized group, it's always harm reduction. It's always like, who is going to strip the fewest of my or my friend's rights?
Yeah. And it is like short term versus long term. I mean, because it is that the harm reduction thing, at least as far as political, especially national political shit goes, has also led us down this road.
Yeah, exactly. So, there is harm that is done to you, and there is harm that is done internationally
Yeah.
Which is why I am not telling anyone how to vote this year.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And it's also like we're ultimately entertainers. And yeah, that's it.
That's
for better or worse. But yeah, it's I think the thing is,
I think it is a good opportunity to get really, really good at figuring out your avenues for information. That's what all you can do.
What I will also say, and I think this is maybe a place where what we can say could be helpful, or you know, potentially a perspective that some of our listeners haven't heard, which is like, if you're kind of like a white liberal person, which, you know, judging by our live shows and various viewer feedback, we got some of those folks listening. When you find yourself like aghast, or as the caller said, like about to lecture a person of color for not doing what you think they should be doing politically, I would just really encourage you to like take a big step back on that one, because I think very rarely, and again, I know there are extremely noticeable, but those are very clear exceptions, like your, say, your Kanye West type folks. But generally speaking, you know, when a person of color, especially one that like almost always agrees with you on your shit, espouses something that you find to be, you know, difficult or incorrect, or like, why are you so mad about this thing? Think about that. Because, yeah, people of color aren't, because when you don't do that, like, you're assuming that they're stupid, that their motivations are their motivations are baseless or irrational. Mm-hmm. And like, just like give people the like, especially again, people that like are more marginalized than you, like, maybe just think why their actions are not irrational and go from there. Because like, yeah, it what really doesn't help, and this is me giving advice to like, again, like your Joe Bidens or your like fucking Senate Democrats or whatever, it's like telling people like, oh, good luck with Trump, is like actually not going to win you any votes either. Because it's like, you know, the thing that does bring to your mind is like, hey, it is actually true policy wise, these guys are, you know, more like Trump than fucking like white Democrats should want to admit, if I'm being honest. Yeah, just save the fucking lectures. Like, go yell at a Republican if you want to take whatever energy you have for this, even if you're like frustrated with like a people of color or a block of people of color or whatever, because like, trust me, they have their reasons, and their reasons are more valid than yours and that you think. Okay, well, that still got dark. I was just trying to work in the selection one, and it is a little funny that this is coming out the day after the California primary, but there's other elections. Let's do another fucking voicemail.
Hey, Andrew, Tommy, and guest. This is Sally from Atlanta. I have both a very dumb but kind of hard question. So I moved to Atlanta from D.C. just a couple months before COVID hit. So most of my interactions since moving have been with coworkers or, you know, with people in my building or immediate vicinity, all of which are overwhelmingly white. You know, I had a lot of friends that were Black and friends of color from D.C., from, you know, I went to school there, and, you know, just from whatever interactions, years, I lived there for 12 years. And now I'm just like surrounded by all these white people, and I'm like, I don't know how to make Black friends or friends of color. Like, it seems so stupid, but like, I just really would love your thoughts on, you know, how to make that happen. I don't know if I'm racist for thinking that, or this isn't necessarily a racist question, but involves race and, you know, maybe a thought. Anyway, thanks guys. Bye.
Okay. I know we've gotten variations of this question before, so I did want to step in to this one and explain why we've picked it again, because of the fucking Atlanta of it, which makes me like, I could almost understand if you'd said like fucking Ohio or like
anywhere, you know, anywhere else,
kind of anywhere else, but like, I don't even know how you find an apartment building in Atlanta that's apparently all white.
I don't know.
I'm sure it exists, but like, that is really wild. Like,
it's pretty wild.
Cause like, Atlanta's really Black.
And very, and, like, mixed. Like, yeah. Everybody's everywhere.
Everybody's everywhere.
As segregated as Chicago or other places.
Yeah. And it's also just one of those places where, like, because of the, like, you know, again, this is not that this excuse would fly anywhere, but it truly is, like, you can, like, really easily find, even if it's, like, a matter of, like, taste or what you're into, you can find Black folks doing literally everything in Atlanta.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Spin class, gardening, yeah.
Any number
shooting.
Of things that you think of as white stuff, there's plenty of Black people there. I went to a fucking minor league hockey game outside of Atlanta. Plenty of, not admittedly a ton, but plenty of Black people there.
Plenty. And you should confront them, ma'am, when you see them. Why aren't you my friend yet? Why aren't you my friend?
There you are.
There you, I found you. Or no, just go up and say, gotcha.
Oh.
Walk into an ice cream parlor and just go, ah, yeah, nice. Gotcha.
Yeah. So normally our advice to these folks, because normally when we get this question, it's like, I live in a town where there's like literally no Black folks, which again, it's like probably not true, but okay, we get it. What do you do? And normally we say some version of like, well, the internet's a place to start. People are able to find like-minded people, blah, blah, blah. But again, I don't know, go outside?
Go do things.
Andrew said, touch grass, bro.
I don't know what to say. Get involved in something.
Yeah, get involved in something. It's also always so weird because it's like, you know, people are not Pokemon. You can't go out and collect them. But if you want a more mixed friend group, you just got to... It's just like making adult friends of any kind. You just got to do it. You got to go out. You got to do things different than you normally would. Change up your patterns. Yeah. Talk to people. Be friendly. I don't know. Go to bars by yourself. Even if you don't drink. Like a woman... I mean, this sounds like it could be dangerous, but make sure you're safe. But like go, you know, go sit at a bar like and have a soda water or have a cocktail and just like chat with nice seeming couples and groups. Tell them you're new to town and looking to make friends. I've never had someone say that to me where I've been like, ew, get away from me. I'm usually like, oh yeah, that's...
Yeah.
I get it. You're an adult trying to make friends in a new city.
I think there's also... I will just say, like... Because presumably the caller has white friends. Because otherwise, this is just how do I make friends? And our answer is, we don't know. But if it's not merely a how to make friends, there is possibly some level of interrogation that... Now, how do multiple white people not have any Black friends in Atlanta? Which, again, I'm sure can happen, but is harder than most cities.
Seems weird.
It just seems weird. Yeah. I think maybe for the caller, it's like, I think you should examine your current existing friend group of white folks. Because something's up. Like, they're doing something that, again, in a city as Black as Atlanta, Black and diverse and relatively integrated for the United States as Atlanta. That's not that easy to do.
This is like, I was recently, I happened to be listening to a DJ who was playing like pop and house music, current-ish music. I won't say where, but I'm sure you can figure it out. And I was with a Black woman. I won't say who, I'm sure you can figure it out. And we were counting the number of Black artists played over multiple hours of this DJ. And it was in the single digits. You know how hard that is to do with music?
Yeah.
To not like play Black people in music? It was crazy.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
This is again, a common question we get, but for this caller specifically, something's up. Something's up with either you, your friends. We're not equipped to diagnose what's up, but we're equipped to tell you something's up.
You called with a question, and we answered it with, something's not right.
Yeah, with you.
Caller, I'm sure you're fine. Just go outside. Go outside, talk to people, be friendly, go places alone, tell people that, you know, you're trying to make friends.
Yeah.
You came to the hospital and said you didn't feel good, and the doctor said, we agree.
Damn, you ain't right.
You gotta get right.
Try feeling
You and all
better.
Your friends. Your friends is sick, too.
I just think the friend thing, because I'm just like, again, if the caller has friends, and I don't know, because you don't have to have friends. No one has to have friends. But it's just the whole, no one, there's no people of color around, black folks around in fucking Atlanta. How?
It's tough to do.
I'm sure it's possible. I guess it's true that I don't know any like white folks from Atlanta. So maybe I'm saying something that is completely wrong.
I don't know, man. I just think it's tough.
As an outsider from a visual perspective, I don't really see how you pull this off. That's all. This is not easy. All right.
We did it.
We did it. Close enough. 323-389-7223. Call, text. I love the texts. I'm getting used to the texts. I don't mind the texts. Kevin, use one of those takes. I don't care which one.
Using all of them.
Suboptimalpods.com.
Yes.
Is that it?
It better be.
We're just stopping the show now. Peace.
Bye. This is Suboptimal.